Welcome to The Drive with Josh Downs, a faith-based coaching podcast where I'll share weekly thoughts, principles, insights, and more, all designed to help you build a better self, to better love yourself, so that you can better become all you were meant to be. Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of The Drive Podcast. I'm Josh Downs. Today's episode is episode 572. Every time I say 500, that just hits me. That's a lot. The title of this episode is going to be Begin with the End in Mind. Now, I've learned, maybe more than any lesson in my life, that everything has its opposite. You know what I mean? There's day, there's night, there's right, there's wrong, there's good, there's evil, there's light and dark, joy, sadness, love and hate, success and failure, BYU, Utah, chocolate and vanilla, Marvel, DC, the list can go on and on. I think a part of this, the part of the reason life has been set up that way, is to help us to learn that there is balance in everything. That we can't always expect to be happy because, well, in order to be happy, there also needs to be some sorrow. Without night, there just simply couldn't be day. We never appreciate love without also at times experiencing its opposite in hate. And you certainly couldn't have BYU football without Utah football, right? Well, what I want to share with you today is more or less the opposite in many ways of the message that I shared with you last week. Last week's message was all about focusing on the journey instead of the destination, right? And while certainly it's a true principle that can be incredibly helpful, it also needs to be balanced, I believe, by a complementary and somewhat of an opposite principle. It's the principle of beginning with the end in mind, or in some ways, focusing on the destination. I was reading a book the other day called The Heart of the Matter by President Russell M. Nielsen, the president of my church and leader of my faith. And the premise of the book is basically he wanted to share what he had learned that has been most important from almost 100 years of living. Now, I don't care who you are or what organization you're a part of. If you have some advice for me after living 100 years, I'm going to listen to you. He has more than twice my life's experience. And being the man and spiritual leader that he is, it makes his counsel and advice that much more important to me. And one of the principles that he teaches in his book is the concept of beginning with the end in mind. And here's why. It's a principle that has application in countless situations. Think about all the things that many of us set out to do, maybe even just as a part of our normal work. When a farmer, as an example, plants a field, he does so envisioning a harvest. When a pilot directs an airplane down a runway, well, it's clearly seen in his or her mind where they intend for that plane to come to rest, right? When a contractor builds anything from the first turn of dirt, he or she is being driven to direct the work being done towards completing what has been previously designed and envisioned from a blueprint. This is a principle that is also taught in Scripture. For where there is no vision, the people perish. Clearly, it's important to have a clear outcome and destination in mind at the start of any journey. I remember on occasion in the past listening to another speaker pointing out the importance of this concept and truth from the story of Alice in Wonderland. Thomas S. Monson, a former leader of my faith, once taught this about knowing where we want to go. He said, "Let us not find ourselves as indecisive as Alice in Lewis Carroll's classic Alice's Adventure in Wonderland. You will remember that she comes to a crossroads with two paths before her, each stretching onward, but in opposite directions. She is confronted by the Cheshire Cat, of whom Alice asks, 'Which path shall I follow?' The cat answers, 'That depends where you want to go. If you do not know where you want to go, it doesn't matter which path you take.'" Again, implying the importance of knowing where it is that we want to go, the destination we want to get to. In his book, Russell M. Nielsen teaches that beginning with the end in mind literally affects everything that we do. It helps us set our course, outline the steps to get there, and monitor our progress along the way. Having a vision of where we're headed makes the chances of getting there infinitely more likely. So, as I took that into account, I've come to recognize it's important to, yes, focus on and enjoy the journey, but it's also important to have a clear vision of where we're going. So with that understanding in mind, I'm going to ask you a few questions. Number one, what is it that you want to do? Number two, what is it that you want to have? And number three, and maybe most importantly, who is it that you want to be? Now, once you can answer those questions clearly and really capture the vision of it, see it, feel it, taste it, let that vision motivate you and in effect pull you towards it. If you haven't created a vision board yet, do it. Look at it and be reminded from time to time of where it is that you want to go. Never lose sight of it or allow yourself to get too distracted from it. You'll be tempted on both accounts, trust me, but having a destination and goal that is worthwhile makes all you do while you wait to get there worth it. In the world that we live in today, this principle has become, I think, more important than ever because there's so much noise and distraction that it can be easy to get off course and drift aimlessly through life. If you don't know where you want to go, then it doesn't matter what path you take. Thomas Monson reminds each of us, however, that unlike Alice, we all know where we want to go. And it does matter which way we go, for the path we follow in this life surely leads to the path we will follow in the next. Each of us, above all, should remember that he or she is a son or daughter of God, endowed with faith, gifted with courage, and guided by prayer. Our eternal destiny is before us. The Apostle Paul speaks to us today as he spoke to Timothy long years ago. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. He then says this, which I absolutely love. At times, many of us let that enemy of achievement, even the culprit self-defeat, dwarf our aspirations, smother our dreams, cloud our vision, and impair our lives. The enemy's voice whispers in our ears, "You can't do it. You're too young. You're too old. You're nobody." This is when we remember that we are created in the image of God. Reflection on this truth provides a profound sense of strength and power. I just love those kinds of statements. They're so motivating and encouraging to me, and I hope they are to you. So let this be today your reminder that yes, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, but that single step can't effectively be taken until you know in which direction you want to walk. We must begin with the end in mind. And one of the things that President Nelson so powerfully reminds us of is that God loves us and wants us to be happy, that this is his end that he has in mind for us. And I love that truth. And that will be where he takes us if we allow him to. That through him we can find joy in this life here and now as well as in the life to come. President Nelson then shares this story and these thoughts. He said, "Life is filled with detours and dead ends, trials and challenges of every kind. Each of us has likely experienced times when distress, anguish, and despair have almost consumed us. Yet we are here to have joy? Yes, the answer is a resounding yes, but how is that possible? What can we do to claim the joy that Heavenly Father has in store for each of us?" He then tells a story of Eliza R. Snow, second general president of the Relief Society, who offered a riveting example of this very thing. Because of Missouri's infamous extermination order that was issued on the onset of the grueling winter of 1838, she and other saints were forced to flee the state that winter. One evening, Eliza's family spent the night in a small log cabin used by refugee saints. Much of the chinking between the logs of the cabin had been extracted and burned for firewood by those who preceded them. So there were holes between the logs large enough for a cat to crawl through. It was bitter cold and their food was frozen solid. That night, some 80 people huddled inside the small cabin. Most sat or stood all night trying to keep warm. Outside, a group of men spent the night gathered around a roaring fire. Eliza recorded, "Not a complaint was heard. All were cheerful, and judging from appearances, strangers would have taken us to be pleasure excursionists rather than a band of gubernatorial exiles." Eliza said of their bone-numbing evening, "That was a very merry night. None but saints can be happy under every circumstance." President Nelson then comments that Eliza R. Snow and those with her surely had their focus fixed on their end goal, staying true to their faith and true to the Lord. She said it well, saints can be happy under every circumstance. We can feel joy even while having a bad day, a bad week, or a bad year. The joy we feel has little to do with the circumstances of our lives and everything to do with the focus of our lives. When the focus of our lives is on God's plan of salvation and Jesus Christ and His gospel, we can feel joy regardless of what is happening or not happening in our lives. That Jesus Christ is the source of all joy. I love that story and I love those comments. You know, regardless of your faith or religion, I believe that it is possible to experience joy in any and every circumstance. That the joy we feel has, as he said, little to do with the circumstances of our lives and everything to do with the focus of our lives. And when we have the correct focus in life, the journey becomes so much better and easier to enjoy that we can, like Peter did, walk above the waves and the wind in the midst of whatever storms that we're going through, as long as we are focused on Christ. I know that that focus on Him for me has been the only thing that has sustained me through the storms that have come into my life and have helped me to even find joy in the midst of them and certainly come to understand them better and find joy in experiencing them because of the growth that has been a part of that and has been felt. When you include Him in your life as a part of your dreams and the effort that you have and you put into to get where you want to go, you will quite literally be able to move mountains if needed because He's a mountain mover. As the scriptures say, if God be with us, who can be against us? Make Him above all your destination. Let Him be the end that you have in mind, and everything else will fall into place just as it should. And you above all else can experience joy and happiness regardless of the circumstances that you're in. Because that was, that is, and always will be the end in mind that Christ has had for us from the very beginning. So keep going, keep trying. Don't you give up and don't you quit, because whatever you're doing or driving towards can and will be yours in this life or the next, especially when you start with the end in mind and then try to find joy in the journey that it takes to get there, no matter how long or how difficult the road may be. And that's the message that's been placed on my heart to share with you today. I hope there's somebody out there that needed to hear this and to recognize this great truth. If any of you listening have been knocked off course from the things that you want most, whether it's by distraction or the poor choices of others, or maybe some of the choices you've made, or you've just simply lost hope, recalculate, recommit, and return to the course that you have for yourself to get to where it is that you want to go, and reinvigorate the steps that you put in to getting there. And above all else, whatever ends that you begin with in mind, make sure that following God is first and foremost on the list. Because if there's anything that I've learned from the roughly 50 years of experience that I've had in my life, is that when you put God first, everything else falls into its proper place or drops out of our lives. Now have a great day and a great week. And try to remember this principle as you go through wherever life's journey takes you and as you push to get wherever it is that you want to go. Until next time, I'm Josh Downs, and you've been listening to The Drive.